Well, let me thank Denver and Lynn for their ministry and song this evening. It has blessed my soul, and I'm sure it has blessed you as you've listened to it as well. Let me also thank Colin for his kind words of welcome, and it's been lovely to enjoy fellowship with you today in Lurgan Baptist Church. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, this evening to the Gospel of John. We're turning to the Gospel of John, please, in the chapter 5. The Gospel of John in the chapter 5. That final piece that Denver and Lynn have sang couldn't be any more appropriate this evening. I would like to speak to you and ask you the question this evening: do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? John and chapter 5, please, and the verse 1, and we'll read the first 16 verses of this chapter in the Word of the Lord. And this is the Word of the Lord, and it reads, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made well? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts as we come to it this Lord's Day evening. As we come to John's Gospel this evening, we find the Savior coming to what is called the Pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. And we find an absolutely amazing story unfold of the Lord Jesus revealing his power and healing over sin and over sickness. Now, if you are familiar with the Gospel of John, when he writes his books, he likes to tell us the reason for writing. And in the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, in verse 31, he tells us exactly why he writes his Gospel. He says, But these things are written, these things within his Gospel are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And John tells us this reason why he wrote this book was to convince people who didn't believe that the Lord Jesus was said who he was, that the Lord Jesus truly was God. He wanted to convince people of what the Lord Jesus could do in their lives. And again, that's the purpose of this story that we have read in Scripture this evening. John wants to show you the power that the Lord Jesus has over sin and over sickness and over all things. And you know, our purpose here in Lurgan Baptist this evening and in every Sunday evening in Lurgan Baptist is that if you're someone who is yet to turn from your sin and believe in the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our prayer this evening is that the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin and that you will turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We could actually borrow the words of John and claim them for our own. And we could say, we preach these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through his name. And the question that we're asking this evening as we come to the Gospel of John and the chapter 5 is, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? My friend, let me tell you that the Bible teaches us that each of us, we have a soul. And let me ask you, do you know that it's well with your soul? We've just heard the word saying, it is well. It is well with my soul. Let me ask you the question this evening. Is it well with your soul? You know, I find it amazing how the Lord throughout the Gospel of John, he meets different people as he goes about his business. In chapter 4, he meets a woman at the well, a Samaritan woman, and he kept an appointment with her and he went to her. And we read in chapter 4 how he must needs go through Samaria. And then we come to chapter 5 and we see him here and he meets with this man by the pool of Bethesda, divine appointments with different people. He comes to Jerusalem this evening. He meets this man at the pool of Bethesda and he's seeking out souls. The pool of Bethesda was a place that we might expect to meet the Savior. For where would a great physician be found apart from among those who are sick? And at the pool of Bethesda, there was a great gathering of people who were not well. They were sick, and they were there hoping that they would be healed. It was a natural place for the Son of Man to be because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was natural that he should make his way to this pool. You see, the Lord, he visited this place, and he was going to save and heal a sinner. And my prayer is that the Lord might come to this place this evening and meet you. And he's walking amid our congregation this evening. And he's ready to heal the sin-sick soul. And he's mighty to save. I know that my Savior is with me this evening as I preach. Do you know how I know that? For he has promised, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So I know that the Lord Jesus, he is here. And he is present in our gathering this evening. He's a Savior who is present, who is ready to save you by the power and conviction of the Spirit of God. He can save you this very evening here in this place. And yet again, here you are, found sat in a gospel meeting. And let me ask you, how many times do you need to hear this life-changing message before you respond to it? Could it be that you have sat here in the pews in Lurgan Baptist Church for years and the Spirit of God through many faithful pastors and preachers has even convicted you of sin? Could it be that you know all that the Lord Jesus can do for you and yet you still haven't repented? You still haven't turned to Christ? Can I remind you that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man? Dear friend, do you want to be well? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to know a relationship with the living God? Is it well with your soul? You know, there's a deadline in each of our lives. The Bible tells us this. It says, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Oh, that you would come to him this evening and receive the healing from your sin that he offers you this very night. If you've never repented and turned from your sin and trusted Christ for salvation, your sin-sick soul is it's on its way to a lost eternity in hell. But you can know this very night that it can be well with your soul if only you will trust Christ as your Savior. I want you to note by way of introduction to aid our understanding of this chapter that we've read this morning, what we read in verse 4. We see that there's impotent folk and they're waiting there for the moving of the water. It says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whoever then was first in after the troubling of the water and stepped in, they were made whole of whatsoever disease that they had. It seemed like only one person would have been healed in this place when the water was stirred up. And if you were too slow, you missed out. And there was this crowd of people there who were ill, sat by these waters, hoping that one day the miracle would be theirs and that they would be healed. They would be the first to reach the water. But then I want you to know two things in this passage this evening. Let's go through the passage and note a few important things that we must consider in our gospel meeting. I want you to firstly see the patient. I want you to see the patient. We see this man that the Lord Jesus approaches. He was a disabled man. He was a disabled man. The man had lived with his infirmity for 38 years. He had been sick longer than the Lord Jesus had ever walked the earth. The Bible says that this man, he had an infirmity. And this word means that he had some weakness or frailness that prevented him from walking about as any other man. And this man, he was hopeless. He had no one to bring him to the water when the water was stirred. And in this man this evening, we can see the picture of a lost soul, a sinner who is lost and separated from God by his sins. And my friend, you and I, we are sinners. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've broken God's holy law. We're separated from God. And without Christ, we'll never, ever reach the shores of heaven. Without Christ, it cannot be well with your soul. Dear friend, do you want to be made well? The Bible teaches us that our best efforts in this life, in comparison to the holiness of God, are as filthy rags. He was a disabled man. This patient, he was a desperate man. This man, he was desperate to be healed. I want you to note that this man, he was fully aware of his sickness. He didn't dispute the failure of his health. He was an impotent man. He felt it. He owned it. He was not like some who deny their sin, some who ignore the message of the Bible. This man, he was conscious that he needed heavenly help. And he was waiting there by the pool, and that showed that he knew he needed heavenly help. I wonder, are you someone here this evening fully aware of your sin? You know all about it. It's led you to places that you don't want to be. Your life has maybe even spiraled out of control at times. And because of your lifestyle, you already know that you're a sinner. You know that the life that you're now living, it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't fulfill your deepest desires. It doesn't make you truly happy. Maybe you've felt it, and maybe you've known it for a long time. And that you've known that you're a sinner and you know that it isn't well with your soul. You must come to the Savior for salvation. Could it be that you're someone and you don't deny the gospel? On the contrary, could it be that you firmly believe the Bible and you heartily wish that you had saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but for the present you've advanced no further? You know all the knowledge, you know all about it, but you haven't taken that step of faith. Why not? Is it well with your soul? Do you know where your eternal destination is? I wonder, are you desperate for new life? I wonder, are you desperate for a fresh start? Guilt of the past dealt with, removed, a future in heaven guaranteed. This man, he was desperate to be healed. I wonder, are you desperate for your soul to be healed? The Lord Jesus, he can completely transform a life. Listen to what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Oh, how this man, he was a disabled man. He was a desperate man. But you know, he was a disappointed man. He had sat by this pool for so long. He had waited for so many years. He had waited for the stirring of the water, for the healing, and he never once made it to the water. He was waiting for a miracle, waiting for a miraculous moment that one day he would just be healed and there would just be this miracle that happened. And he waited by the pool, expecting some sign and wonder. You know, just a couple of weeks back, there was a young man came along to Bambridge Baptist and he shared his testimony. And he was a young man who had been saved from a life of drugs and drink. And you know, as he was testifying, he said this, and I thought it was so important. He said there was no vision from heaven when he got saved, and there was no strange sign. It wasn't a miraculous moment in that sense, but at the moment he was saved, he simply prayed, and he repented from his sin, and he thanked the Lord and put his trust in the work that the Lord Jesus completed at the cross, in the blood shed for him, that the price had been paid for his sin. And do you know what he said? He says, I knew at that moment that I was saved for time and for eternity. There was no miraculous moment. And dear friends, this evening, let me say to you, don't sit by the pool and wait for some amazing vision or sign. If you're aware of your sin, you can be freed from your sin. That day, the Lord Jesus himself, can you imagine it? The Lord Jesus, he walks onto this scene, standing there in the midst of all these impotent folk, and they didn't even realize. They were all still gazing at the clouds, waiting for this angel to come, waiting for the angel to stir the water, waiting for some miracle. Then the one who could heal them, he was standing in their midst. There was the Lord Jesus, the one who could heal every single one of them, standing there, and not one of them took note. Not one of them took note of the Lord Jesus. And tonight, the Lord Jesus, he stands in our midst, not by the pool of Bethesda, but he is here, ready and willing to save you, to make it well with your soul. And let me tell you, he bids you come. And when the Father bids you to believe in his Son, what right have you to demand signs and wonders instead? Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest of all wonders. The greatest of all wonders. For you to wait for some remarkable experience is a futile task. And those who were waiting by Bethesda, waiting for this long-expected angel, and there they were sat, and the Lord Jesus was in their midst, who could save them. Imagine them gazing to the clouds, and there's the great physician. Let me tell you, for us this evening, my great physician heals the sick. The lost he came to save. For me, his precious blood he shed. For me, his life he gave. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Could it be that there is someone who listens this evening, and you're just lying at the water's edge? You know that there's other times, and the Lord, he would have arrived in a place, and the people, they would have brought their sick in their beds, and they would have laid them at his feet, and he would have went along to their homes, and he would have healed the sick, and he would have scattered mercies with both his hands. But a blindness had came over these people at the pool. There they were, and there was Christ who could heal them, but not even one of them sought him. Not one. I wonder this evening, is that a description of you? Your eyes are fixed on the water and you feel to see Christ among us. And will you be looking at the water of your good works? Will you be trusting in your church attendance to get you to heaven? Or will you let Christ, who is able to save to the uttermost, save your soul this very night and make it well with your soul? He can do that this evening. But let me ask, will Bethesda be repeated in this place tonight? When Christ is in the midst, you know you're a sinner. Will you be blinded and will you just walk out the door later on? No thought of eternity. No thought of where you're headed. How tragic for Christ to be here and you to miss him, not come to him. Maybe your eyes are fixed on other things that fulfill, sporting heroes, pop stars, riches, the drink. Dear friends, don't let Bethesda be repeated in this place. We must note that this man, he was becoming old. For 38 years is a long time out of a man's life. And he's been sick for all that time. And he felt maybe he should die soon. And I wonder, is life wearing away with you? Are there not gray hairs here and there maybe? And you've waited all this time and you've seen others saved. You've seen your child saved. You've seen your wife converted. But you're not. And you're waiting, and you will wait, I fear, till the tune of earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, and the soil rattles on your coffin lid, and your soul forever be lost in hell. Don't play with time any longer. Young person, older person, don't say there's time enough. Not one of us is guaranteed another night in this planet. There's a true story, and it happened up in Ballymoney many, many years ago, and it's a story that I was told a number of weeks ago, and I don't think I'll ever forget it. There was a man who had gone out to visit some of his friends early in the afternoon on a very snowy day. It was stormy weather, and the snow was heavy, and he stayed in their home until midnight. And he felt that he needed to get home, even though there had been no let-up in the snow, and it had continued to snow heavily. And the people whom he was visiting, they begged him to stay the night. They were worried about him going out into the snowstorm, but he felt that he had to go home to his wife and to his children. And there his wife was in the home, and the family were there, and they were waiting for him. And they waited all night. The wife, she sat up all night, waited patiently. She listened all night for the latch of the door to open, but it never opened. In the morning, when the snow began to clear, she opened the door and she looked out. And there she found her husband lying on the steps, his arm outstretched towards the latch. He had fallen on his own doorstep. He was almost home. He was within reach of the door, yet he had perished at the doorstep. Dear unconverted friend, this evening, we can be so near the kingdom of heaven, yet perish on the threshold of opening it, entering in. And that man, he was almost home, but he missed it. Oh, we see the patient in our passage, but then we see the physician. We see the great physician. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we firstly see that he cares for the sinner. He cares for the sinner. The Lord knew everything that there was to know about this man. He knew that he was crippled. He knew that he was unable to walk. He knew that he was unable to stand and carry his own bed. Christ knew that this man was totally dependent upon others for everything he had in life. Yet Jesus reached out to him anyway. What a picture of grace. You know, while in this occasion no one was calling out to the Lord Jesus to heal them or to cleanse them from their sin, there was no cry of Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But here in our gathering tonight, I wonder, would you be willing to cry out to the Lord and to make it well with your soul? The Lord Jesus Christ, he can save you. Let me tell you something. There's no heart, no heart so hard that he cannot soften it. There's no one among you so lost that the Lord Jesus cannot save him. No case of sin has ever defeated him. His mighty power reaches beyond the uttermost of the depths of all human sin. Christ can cleanse the sinner steeped in immorality. If there's an alcoholic or a thief here tonight or listening in online, the blood of Jesus Christ washes whiter than snow. If you have any desire towards Christ, you haven't gone beyond the grace of his pierced hands. If you're not saved, it's certainly not for want of the power in the blood of my Savior. If you're poor, there's no hindrance, for my great physician, he asks nothing of you. The Lord Jesus doesn't demand anything from you. He forgives you freely. He wants none of your merits, nothing whatsoever from you. He just says, come as you are, for he's willing to receive you as you are. The Lord Jesus, he cares for the sinner. And he came to the sinner. You know, the Lord Jesus, he walked right up to this man. And he asked them the question, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be made well? And the Lord Jesus, he asks this man if he wanted to be healed. And he offers him healing. And the Lord Jesus stands here this evening and listen to it from the lips of God incarnate as he asks you this evening. He asks you the very same question that we find in Scripture tonight. He says, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be well? He comes to you, the sinner, and he offers his great salvation. My friend, the Lord Jesus, he came to earth to be the sacrifice. The Lord Jesus, he came to this earth And he came to die for you and to die for me. He went to Calvary and he gave his life as a ransom for many. He paid the price for your sin. The wages of sin is death, and he died for you. And he suffered on the cross in your place, that he might take your sin, if only you would come to him and trust him as your Savior. See him dying there for you. Cast your mind's eye to Calvary. See the crown of thorns upon his brow. See the nails driven through his hands and his feet. See the blood flow. And he came to die for you so that it could be well with your soul. Oh, he comes to you as the Savior. Today, when Jesus comes to the sinner, he comes as Savior and Lord. He comes as one offering eternal life to all who will receive him and repent from their sin. And the Lord Jesus is here to offer you that this evening. He desires more than anything that you will be saved and miss hell. He knows all there is to know about your life. And he still comes and asks you to trust him as your Savior. And if you'll respond in faith, he'll not deny you salvation. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, we read these words. The Lord Jesus says, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Dear friends, in this passage we see the Lord Jesus heal this man's body. And the Lord, he commands this man to rise, take up thy bed and walk. And we're told immediately this man was healed. But so much more important is this. You see, the important thing to remember about the Lord Jesus as the great physician is not that he can heal the body, but he can heal the soul. If he heals the body, that's wonderful. But eventually this body will perish. However, what the Lord Jesus does for the soul is eternal. I wonder, is it well with your soul? He can save you from your sin. If only you'll trust him tonight. Don't be like the man in that illustration in Balamoni who got to the door, stretched out his hand to the latch, and perished there on his doorstep. Don't get to the threshold of the kingdom. Don't just stand there at the gate. The Lord Jesus, he asks you to come home this evening. He asks you to put your trust in him. My friend, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You don't know if you'll make it to your pillow this evening. Not one of us knows. So I wonder, are you saved this evening? And I wonder, do you know that it's well with your soul? Do you want to be made well? I trust that you'll come to the Savior this very night and put your trust in the finished work of the cross at Calvary. Our closing hymn this evening is "Come Every